Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I got Alec Medford in studio with me today, as well as Mr. Chris Arnold.
Got you down.
And James, who is the most festive of all the people, although Alec is wearing the Mean Girls shirt that I gave him for Christmas. And I can't tell y'all how much I appreciate that. When I saw it, I was like, I just want to see Alec in this shirt. and then whenever I got it, I was like, man, this shirt's too small, so I got him a large. Does it fit okay?
I like the fit.
Okay, all right.
I really do. I washed it last night before wearing it, thinking that it would shrink a little bit, and it did. So right. I think it actually fits the perfect way.
Well, there we go. Merry Christmas to all you fellas, and Merry Christmas to all the Tolos out there. Thank you very much for being with us today. We will start things off with some Cowboys questions, but I also have this question. What is the worst thing to wake up to on Christmas Day?
Ooh.
And the reason I asked this question to start off is this morning I got up and the house was very quiet. Everybody's still sleeping.
Not a creature was stirring.
Not a creature was stirring.
Not even a mouse.
Not even my dog. Mm-hmm. And he usually is barking at something.
Is he named Mouse?
No. His name's Landry.
Dang.
But I'm looking out the window while I'm making my eggs, and I look over there and I see that there's a tow truck, and he is hooking up the van across the street from me.
Oh,
and then
no.
Whenever I get done, the tow truck drives off. And I know my neighbor, like, there was no problem with that car last night.
Repo man.
And then this morning, the repo man showed up and took his car. And
damn.
I can't, like, that would ruin my effing day.
Yeah.
If on Christmas, like, today's Christmas Eve, but tomorrow morning, if you woke up, you went outside, and your car was just gone. And then you get a little note that says, I don't know, how do they do that? Do they say you've been repoed? Like, I don't know how that works.
I don't know.
They leave a little card.
The repo man. 7-8-8-1-1-0-5-3. We got some Tolos who are repo guys.
Yeah.
Repo victims.
You let them know.
Let us know.
There are repo guys on TikTok that make content out of it. They'll literally just sneak up on people. They'll be at Target grocery shopping. They'll go find the car in the sea of absolute monstrosity that is a parking lot this time of the year. They'll find the car. They'll just back that thing up, hook it up, and drive away with it like nothing happened.
You get paid.
And some of them will even wait for the people to start walking out of the store, walking out of the house before they drive away so they see it get taken away.
That's the worst.
And then they're like, haha, I'm going to make money off of this, not because it's my job, because I'm posting this on TikTok.
Power tripping.
Yeah, so go buy this cologne that I'm going to attach in the comments, you know.
Right. We got some Tullos texting in real quick. The 817 says, worst thing happened on wake up on Christmas, I had sewage water backed up in all the bathtubs.
That's ruining your day.
Yeah.
That's ruining your Christmas day right there. Because you got all the go to bed, sugar plums and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You wake up, you got the excitement of Christmas Day, and then there's something that you either, that's the other question. Do you take care of it then? Or do you say, I'll take care of it tomorrow? Like the sewage, I feel like you got to take care
of
it then.
You got to take care of that now because, you know, you might have people coming over. Unless you're going to leave the house and go to grandma's house or something.
Yeah.
You got to take care. You have no idea who's coming over there.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
I love the problems that you can be like, that's for another day. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything about this today.
We got some Tullos texting in who actually do repo and have been victims. 817 says, I'm in auto collections. For sure, we send repo guys every day of the year. Holidays, extended holidays are always a busy time. Ho, ho, ho.
My uncle and both of my uncles and my mom's husband they ran Toe Jam for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like they were on call all the time. And that was part of their money making was pulling up into somebody's driveway and taking off with their car.
So what can you do? 214 says, no, they don't tell you when they take it away. You can call your loan company.
I bet.
And they'll tell you exactly who has your car.
Yeah.
Because that's how they get paid. Also, let's see. This guy says another bad thing to have. He said, my coworker, as a kid, growing up, their mobile home got repossessed on Christmas Day.
Mm-mm.
Not the whole house.
A whole mobile home house.
Wow. Just wake up and your house is gone and you're just like in the middle of the grass. Like, what happened? Did I party too hard last night?
Yeah. Somebody said from the 816, worst thing is your wife sitting on your chest holding a butcher knife over and you screaming she's going to kill you.
Oh, no.
I can imagine that's a bad day. Like, how are you supposed to overcome that and say, hey, let's open these presents together. Can you please get the eggnog ready?
Yeah, that's not a good look.
Spiking the wrong thing.
Yeah, do you expect that she's going to give you rum or poison? That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. The 214 says a lot of plumbers do good with the poop around the holidays. I'm going to say this. I looked this up one time. They said, how does garbage disposals always get broke on and toilets backed up? They said people be throwing whole turkeys and stuff.
Huh? Why?
And it's not just poop. That's not a lot of poop. It's turkeys and bones and things like that. Just crazy.
Start rice, because rice will puff back up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it's stuck to grease, and then it's like stuck in your pipes. Starches, like sweet potato. Don't throw a whole sweet. When you're shaving, don't throw them in the disposal. It's not going to work that way. The way that you want it to, it's not going to work. It's going to take forever for it to break down and all that stuff. So don't throw a whole turkey in the disposal. Throw in the trash.
We got another repo guy texting in 972 says, don't let the owner know. Conflict can happen. Go incognito. Less risk of guns and knives.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that deep.
Some people get mad. Hey, what are you doing in my car? And then all of a sudden, take it off the hook. But I was told to come out here.
Exactly.
There's all of them got stories. Some of them are running their own business, repo business. Some of them just work there.
Hey, I didn't give my neighbor's name, douchebag, so don't worry about it. From the 702.
Yeah, he's trying
to. The person who's trying to start crap on. This is Christmas Eve. What are you doing here? Nice. Calling people douchebag. Why are you doing that right now?
Christmas
Not
Eve.
A good way to start it.
Exactly.
All right. So continue to text in your feelings on what the worst thing could possibly be. And I don't know, do you have one, Alec, that you think that would be just the worst?
For me personally, I'm always worried. We have like all the inflatable decorations out in the front yard. I'm worried that like there's going to be that one group of like high schoolers or something that's going to drive by Christmas Eve night and slash all of them, and we're going to wake up and they're all going to be deflated.
Those are expensive.
But that, like,
has it ever happened?
No, it's never happened. It happened in our old neighborhood, not to us, but to some neighbors that they went all out. That's why we never did, because it happened to them. When we got to the new house, we're like, okay, a little bit of a better area. We're going to try it out. We haven't had that issue, but every year, because it takes us 2.5 hours probably to set all that up and get everything staked and tied down. So I'm like, if I come out here 3 days later and it's all deflated because somebody took a knife to it, I'm going to be so mad.
By the way, Corey, you got to tell the story about when you guys were in high school and what you guys did to those decorations outside the people.
I actually thought this was fun, and it was really funny whenever I had to reply back to the person that called me a whiner. I called them a wiener. All right, so it's the same guy. When I was in high school, my friends and I, instead of like going and wrecking people's stuff,
right.
The only time we ever wrecked one thing was we picked up one of those reindeer, the wooden reindeers, and it just fell apart. You know, it was one of those. It was like barely held together.
Yeah. Wooden horse kind of reindeer.
We would go and we would take one neighbor's all their yard work and move it next door.
Then we would go back over and take that
neighbor's and move it. So we would move everything one house down.
And they'd wake up the next day
on the whole street.
Oh, what the hell?
And a lot of times people were like, screw it, I'm not messing with it. Yeah. They'd just be like, just leave it that way. They wouldn't even try and move it back every once in a while. But that was what we thought was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anybody woke up and thought it was funny, because their stuff wasn't wrecked. Yeah. It wasn't broken or anything. It was just moved next door.
You know, there's a Tolo from the 469 did the same thing. They said they didn't destroy their decorations. They just take them, set them up in the neighbor's yard across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal.
Yeah. From the 940.
That's a prank, not a terrorist act.
When your wife brings her boyfriend to the Christmas party.
Ooh.
That's a tough one right there, ooh. I think. Yeah.
How does that?
All you can do is drink it off your mind with more eggnog.
From the 214.
Huh.
The worst thing that happened to me was on Christmas Day was my father died.
Oh, man.
The last time I saw him was when Leon Lett had the Thanksgiving goof up. That's the last moment you remember with your father was Leon Lett touching the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, Miami Dolphins game. Yeah. By the way, George Michael also died on Christmas. And George Michael wrote, "The last Christmas."
Yeah. Okay,
that was his last Christmas.
I'll tell you, it was that song and the Beatles' "Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas" song.
Simply
get him out of here.
Oh, you tired?
Throw him out. Throw him in the ocean.
Yeah,
never bring him back.
Hot today.
I love Christmas music when it's called for. My kids start it like after Peace-a-thon, basically, is when they start playing Christmas music. I do like it around the house, but those two songs, they can go. And like I said, Merry Christmas to the person. Which out of those two?
No, period. Because you're talking about
the Snoopy, the Peanuts. I like that one, but it's the
that's my favorite.
All the ones from the, I can't think of his name right now. Actually,
Giraldi.
My wife's
you're talking about
yes, Giraldi. Yeah, Vince Giraldi. All that whole album.
Yeah,
I love that.
Me too.
I recently started playing the Elf soundtrack because that's got some good beats, like from New York City kind of vibe to it. So
I would tell you this, a staple, This Christmas by Donny Hathaway. Then Chris Brown did a version of it. It's absolutely amazing as well. And I highly recommend anybody to pick up Christina Aguilera's Christmas album because every song she sings is just incredible.
Yeah, and I mean...
And Kelly Clarkson
crushes it. That her
Burleson's Own
Wrapped in Red, I think, is the one that my wife loves
the most.
She can
sing anything.
Listening to my daughter, though, she just will go into her room and just start playing Christmas music, and I love it. Mm-hmm. Christmas Shoes is one of the worst songs ever. Yeah, I agree with you
on that.
Makes
no sense.
That one's a tough listen. That is for sure. Chris, so why I was looking at the clock.
Uh-huh.
So for Christmas, my wife. I'm not going to tell that part.
Okay, don't tell that part.
For me, though, I bought myself the Peanuts Vince Giraldi album for Christmas.
The Peanuts Gang. Yeah.
That was so I never buy myself a gift, but I literally went to the store and was like, I'm taking this home for me this year. And I wrapped it and I put to Corey from Corey on it. That's I don't know why.
Alec, you've never seen a Christmas special with Charlie Brown?
Oh, yes, I have.
That background music?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you were understanding what he was talking about.
No, yeah. I was telling James to mark something.
Oh, no.
See. That's the way his mind works. He's a producer, even though he's over here being a host.
Yeah, he is always thinking that way.
I got to have material for Friday.
Guys, I have this question. With the Cowboys, so it's a sports segment. With the Cowboys... Have they broken your heart too much that it'll never recover, or can they get you back some way? Is there a way the Cowboys can get you back? This season's been tough, and a lot of fans have been brutal towards the Cowboys about this. So much so that it's been misdirected at us at times.
Sure.
So is there a way the Cowboys can get you back this holiday time, or maybe even next year?
Is Mike listening?
Mike will never come back. Mike is not to
not to hear.
I'm about to say what?
Not to this show.
Yeah,
but as far as
to the Cowboys,
as far as the Cowboys being a family tradition and being a staple in his life, he says, you know what? I'll keep up with him for my job, but my heart can't take it.
Yeah. That's where Mike is on that. Is there anything they can do? Because for me, I'm sad. I'm depressed about the Cowboys.
Sure.
And but I'll be trying to rebuild this offseason. I'll be trying to figure out, you know, how do they do this thing? So I'm never really that far away. There could be something. I mean, Jerry's cussed at me before, and that didn't send me that way. So there could be something that really sends me that way. And maybe it is just like multiple years of ineptitude.
Mm-hmm.
But with this team... I will be back next season trying to rebuild. But for those who have been like, I'm done, is there anything that they can do to get you back? From the 702, I'm truly starting to fade from the Cowboys because I don't see any changes going forward.
Yeah, that's tough. They say that now. Here's what's so wild. Most Cowboy fans will admit they have a toxic relationship with the Cowboys. Oh, the Cowboys might do them wrong, beat them up, cuss them out or whatever, and then they keep coming back. Because some play or something happens because It's just a lifestyle. And I've asked that question on Twitter during a big game that they've lost. And I'm not lying. Thousands and thousands of fans will say, yeah, I'm addicted to them. Stick it in my vein.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. That is what the Cowboys have done. Jerry's done that. He's mm-hmm. been very smart about being able to market. He told us one day on the show, and I saw this actually in person when he talked about this too. He was like, look, if you pick up a magazine, whether it's Wine or Southern Living or whatever, I want the Cowboys to be in there somewhere.
Right.
I want the brand to you always be recognized. Because one of the most recognizable symbols in the world is the American flag. Everybody knows what it is, right? Mm-hmm. The other one, the Coke bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
That Coke bottle, everybody knows that means Coca-Cola around the world. Yes. And they want the star to be the same thing.
And it has been, because guess what? It's the most valuable franchise in the world for the umpteenth year in a row. You wish they could win a Super Bowl to go along with it. But as long as they're a lightning rod where people either love them or hate them, they're being relevant. And Jerry's only fear, he's told me this over the years, he has a fear of them ever becoming irrelevant. In other words, where people don't care at all. He doesn't want them to turn into the current Raiders. The Raiders used to be the evil empire.
Yep.
Cowboys used to be the good guys. Raiders used to be the bad guys. And it's like, whatever. He's always wanted to make sure that they don't become, you know, where people don't care one way or the other.
From the, from the 817. I would come back if we had a couple years of smart management. Ball is ball. I can take losing. I can't take stupidity with contracts and player personnel management. I agree with that. You can lose. That's fine. Like that.
It's part of the game, but I'm there too, because if you can make enough smart decisions, I haven't fully gone like Mike, not a fan anymore kind of thing, or like pure hatred or whatever. I've just dropped the emotional attachment. They'll always be my favorite team. They always will be my football team and the first sports team I ever loved. But I think what could get me back emotionally invested is making an NFC championship. Mm. I'm not saying you even got to win it. That's just progress. That's improvement. And that shows me that you've done something right. And it's probably over the course of a couple years. It's not going to be an overnight one-year thing, one-off season thing. So if you can do that, I think I'd be roped back in at least for one season. I'll say, hey, we didn't make it this year. Next year, I'm in. I'm all in. And I mean it when I say that. But outside of that, there's not really anything, because I just need to see it. I can't have you like say, here's one big free agent signing and fall in love with them and fall in love with the team again. You know, here's a divisional round exit. You know, take that and love it. We'll build on next year. No, I need to see something different that I haven't seen, because like Choppy called me a fetus earlier. I'm 23. I haven't seen an NFC championship appearance. I don't know what that's like. If I can get that, fun. I think I'll be wrote back in.
From the 8-1, this is three consecutive texts from the 817. One of the Cowboys to lose so bad for them to tank. But dang it, they pulled me back in this week, and now I'm rooting for them to win. Either you're a Cowboys fan from the 214, or you're not. I'm going to support and watch my team. And then from the 214, those guys never gave up on the season. They were a bonehead play away from still being in the playoff conversation. Mm. For everybody out there that thinks that it's just all negative towards the Cowboys, there's a huge mass of people that are still completely in on this team.
Here's another one from the 281. 59-year-old lifetime Cowboy fan, and shake my head. They drive me nuts, but I love them and will never quit them. Cowboy fans are spoiled AF. Yes, they are.
That is a reality. That is just, definitely.
It is what it is. They're not going to turn back. It's a family tradition for a lot of people.
Mavs get a big work from the big man last night. Anthony Edwards says the Wolves have no identity. What is the Mavs' identity? I think it's this. Next on the Fan.
Washington grabs the rebound.
Not a lot of continuity offensively.
Is continuity personified what Dallas is doing on offense? A wide open transition three for Klay Thompson.
I will say Mark Folwell used some big words that I didn't quite understand there, but I got the picture. I totally got the picture on that one. The Mavericks win last night. What a game that was, because that was, you had the guys back in action. You had Luka, you had Kai doing their thing again. But for me, I don't know why. I love Daniel Gafford. I know that is friend of the evening show with Blake. I know they've gotten really tight.
Mm-hmm.
I love, since he got here,
Yeah,
I've just loved what the personality of him.
Sure.
The way that he plays. And then last night he had one finish where he had touch under the basket and goes behind his back and hits it off the backboard. And I was like, not only does he do all these big man things, but he's got touch too.
He was 7 for 7 and he had 21 points. If he had made his free throws, he might have had 30.
Yeah. That was the only thing that wasn't working for him was he was getting trips to the line and he wasn't finishing there.
The ones were amazing because he's so strong. They were grabbing his arms and it's still going.
Yeah, now that being said, I don't want to act like Portland is a world beater or anything. No. They're a bad basketball team and the Mavs should have run away the way they did last night. And quite honestly, that third and fourth quarter for last night, would they score 40 in the third quarter last night? Those two middle quarters were where they won that game and ran away with it. But the pace, CA, you were there last night.
Yep.
That pace just seemed like Portland was like, we're going to push it. And the Mavericks were like, yeah, this is what we do too.
Right. Here's what's so wild. They played Portland in Portland. Remember that 40 days trip and they only came home four times?
Yes.
Most November and part of December. They were in Portland. And they beat the Blazers, I want to say, like 139 to 134, something like it was in the 130s. The Mavericks scored 132 last night, beat them 132 to 108. So the defense was there, but Portland knows how to score. They're just not a good team. They've only won 9 games. Mavericks, meanwhile, have won 19 games. That being said, that tempo, it's definitely Luka understands this because it's also saving his legs for the playoffs. But with that tempo... they're still playing defense because I don't want people to think it's just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
They're clamping down on defense as well. And once again, you had a lot of scoring from a lot of different people. And it wasn't just Luka trying to carry him on their back. Here's another little nugget that a lot of people aren't aware of. Their starting lineup last night, by the way, Luka's been out for about 5 days because since the Golden State game in San Francisco because he had a heel bruise. Luka's back. Yeah, Luka, P.J. Washington, Derek Lively, Kyrie Irving, and Klay Thompson. That starting lineup has only been together starting 6 times. They're 6-0.
Really?
Because it had been Daniel Gafford starting, and then he said, okay, let me slide in. Because he could switch him back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lively has no problem. And that's the other thing. Derek, the majority of these players, in fact, the whole team, they do not care how many touches they get. They don't care who starts or not. They're like, man, we just trust in the whole process because we know we're good. Mm-hmm. And they are. And to show you how sneaky good they are, they're 19-10. That 40 days and only 4 games at home, they only lost 2 games on that road trip. They went 12 out of 14.
Yeah, they're 14 out of their last 17.
This is a good. The 4 game. Remember in the first part of the season, they lost 4 straight games. All of those were last possession losses, like 1 possession losses. Those 4 games, imagine if they had won that last possession.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have the best record in the league right behind Cleveland, right with them.
Yeah.
Right now, there's only like 4 teams who have a better record than the Mavericks in the entire NBA.
You go look at those Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich teams back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Go look at how in the middle of a season they would have an 18-game win streak.
Yeah.
A 16-game win streak. They would win games, and then they'd have a loss, and then they'd come back with another 10 straight. And you're like, that's how the best teams do it. They have large, swaths? Of wins, just sections where you're like, they didn't lose for a long period of time.
Here's one other note to take it, because a lot of people are not aware of the plus minuses, which is a stat that even if you don't score a lot of points or get a lot of rebounds, you're making the other guys on the floor better while you're out there. Across the board last night, everybody had pluses. Listen to this, P.J. Washington, plus 27. Derek Lively, a plus 16. Kyrie Irving, a plus 30. Luka Doncic, a plus 16. Klay Thompson, a plus 21. Daniel Gafford, a plus 10. Quentin Grimes, a plus 14. I could go on and on and on. That's just showing you this is a team that's playing like a team.
There is something I learned about this. Mike taught me this. I did not know this. If you check into a game during free throws and the guy misses a free throw, that gives you a negative. So anybody that was negative last night was checking in when Daniel Gafford was on. I love Daniel Gafford. I just want to make sure everybody understands
that. Plus minus.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah.
All right. So Alec, this team, I saw this from Anthony Edwards, and it really started making me think about what this Mavericks identity is. Anthony Edwards says that it's just 4 people at the rim. He said, we're not an offensive team. We're a defensive team. So I don't think there's going to be much change. I just think we got to play better defense. And they've been a very strong defensive team since they put that thing together. He said, yeah, we don't have S on offense. We have no identity. I mean, we know I'm going to shoot a bunch of shots. We know Jew's going to shoot a bunch of shots, and that's all we know. We don't really know anything else. I mean, it's not on the coaches at all. It's on us. We're out there playing, but we got to make it easier for each other. Coaches put us in great positions too. We just don't do it. And it goes back to, for me, the identity of the Mavs used to be stand in a corner and wait until Luka gives you a basketball. And when Luka gives you a basketball, then you can shoot your three-pointer. Don't do anything else because you can't do anything else, but Luka will find you, and once he finds you, he knows it's your time to shoot. This team is completely different from that identity, and the identity now is how would you describe it?
I would say, in a way, it's like follow the energy, if that makes sense, because it's not, like you said, it's the complete opposite now. It's not standing around and waiting for something to be created for you. Even in the non-Luka minutes last night, like specifically with Quentin Grimes, that it felt like it was kind of let everything develop in front of you, see and feel out that rhythm, because we were talking about the pace of play. The Mavericks are playing, I think, the seventh fastest pace of play right now in the NBA. And that's for a reason. It's not in the top five, but it's in the upper echelon because they know when to speed it up. They play with a high motor, but they know when to slow it down too. Mm-hmm. So bringing the ball up the court, just, you know, off of a regular inbound, they know, okay, we have time. We can let things develop. But you saw it in the fast break last night too, that, hey, if we do pick someone off here, we can fly down the court. We can score with pace. I think 17 fast break points last night that you saw off of 10 different turnovers by 9 different players.
Yeah.
Like, you are starting to see everybody is kind of reading the room a little bit more and making decisions on their own without going into business for themselves. Like, you've seen Luka do in the past. You've seen Kyrie do in the past. You saw it even in the playoff run at times last year where guys were kind of going into business for themselves, playing a little bit of hero ball. Now it's just trusting things. And you saw it with Daniel Gafford last night on an and one that he got. Quentin Grimes driving to the basket from the left corner, mm-hmm. from the three-point line. He's got an open shot. He drives, fakes the shot, and just flings it to Gafford right in front of him because he says, we can get three here. You know, it's feeling out that rhythm, and part of that is because of the pace of the play. So feeling out the energy and feeling out, really just reading the room. It's all about tempo now, and it feels like it hasn't been about tempo in a really long time. And it's not just Luka's fault, because the pieces around him when he first got here, exactly, they didn't have enough.
Yeah, he had to back then.
But now you can actually work with that. You totally see them slow things down and let him just ISO and completely demolish people in front of him. But you'll see him have a willingness to be that tertiary guy to a Kyrie Irving who wants to move a little bit quicker. So it's just feeling out the rhythm and the feel of that game in that moment against who you're playing right then.
Speaking of feeling out, there were some fans during the game that were texting on or actually posting stuff on social media saying, how come Jason Kidd's not playing Najee? What did Najee do wrong? How come he's playing Maxi Kleber all the time? I'm like, why are they nitpicking this when you got to basically trust that Jason Kidd knows what he's doing? You think you would learn this by now. What he's doing is, you're playing Portland, a team you're supposed to beat anyway. Najee has been brilliant, right?
Played a lot of minutes too.
Yeah.
Played a lot, probably more minutes than he's played at this point in any season.
In any season with the New Orleans Pelicans. But here's where he is now. Mavericks love Najee. All right, he's a Swiss Army.
Yes,
his nickname is Knife because he's a Swiss Army Knife. He can do it all. His productivity in the paint, these floaters and things that he does, nobody saw that coming. So why is Kidd not playing him that much? Well, number one, he was coming off of an illness.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's been all right, but guess what? This is the team you're supposed to beat, and you got to get Maxi back into the groove. Maxi had, like, I want to say a rib situation, a bruised rib or something. Well, you're going to need Maxi at some point in time, even if you say, well, what makes you think Max is going to be here at the trade deadline? You have no idea, but you still got to have him contribute. So here's the perfect situation where you can get Maxi back to contributing, or the guys around him who hadn't been working with him last year. You're some of the new guys, like Q-Dot. They can see what Maxi can do with it. I mean, you got to use the opportunities to where it's not a matchup against the Celtics or a matchup against the Lakers or a matchup against, well, we got to win this game because, well, you know you're going to beat Portland. If you don't, that's saying something about the entire roster. If this roster, as deep as it is, cannot beat Portland, they had a come-to-Jesus meeting earlier in the season when they lost at Utah. Utah sucks. And in that, after that game, they didn't have Kyrie. They didn't have... Guess what? They had a come-to-Jesus meeting. They said, if we're so deep, we need to step it up. And you see what they're doing.
The from the 361, this team is a pick, pop, roll, pass, crash. And
crash
that is,
the boards.
That is definitely... And they have the bodies to do it.
They really do.
And this,
versatile.
This is where I think their identity lies more in adaptability. Mm-hmm. And I love what you said, though, Alec. Follow the energy, because on offense, they definitely, and even on defense, too. On offense, they feel, I got something else here. They definitely feel where the play should go. And I always love that moment. We had Jason Kidd on. We were talking to him about Scalabrine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Scalabrine told us, he was like, he passed me the ball. And I passed it out, and then it was a turnover, and Jason Kidd was staring lasers through me. And I was like, what's up? And he said, I already made the decision for you to shoot that, and now it's a turnover on me instead of an assist. I already made the decision for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it. You don't have to think. I'm thinking for
you. Yeah, he's quarterback on the
floor.
And that's
the way this team is. Like, Luka's the thinker for him, and everybody just kind of responds. Kyrie's a good thinker, too.
Yes.
But if you go back, I know this is dumb. I watched Uncle Drew a while back, and hearing the line, they don't play the game the right way, from Kyrie as Uncle Drew, I hear it whenever I watch him play. When he's going, this is the right way to play the game.
Right.
There's pockets. There's energy pockets that he's talking about. But that team, that era of what Pop put together, when I watched Greg Popovich's teams dominate, they were able to beat you at what you could do, and they were able to beat you at what they could do.
Exactly.
It didn't matter what it was on the court. They were good. Their bench was so deep and so versatile that they could do anything you could do and just as well. And that's where this Mavs team is right now. If you want to run, they'll run you off the floor. If you want to play big, they'll play bigger than you. If you want to shoot threes all day, they can shoot them just as well. They have every tool at their disposal. That's why I'm not really looking for them to move anything off this roster right now, because of the way that it's built. When you get in the playoffs, you have, what, five teams? Four teams that you're going to have to match up against.
Exactly.
And neither one of them are the same. So you're going to have to be able to adapt with that roster. I know Corey Brewer didn't play a huge role in the entire run to the championship, but that one time they needed him,
exactly,
they pulled him off the bench, and he brought life to the team.
Exactly.
And you're going to need that in the playoffs whenever you're adjusting to Oklahoma City versus Denver versus Boston. All those things are unique and different.
Exactly. So I love the way you summarized that up, and I'm glad you brought in Pop, because for those who don't know, Pop has always admired Jason Kidd when he was a player.
Yes.
In fact, he wanted him to play for the Spurs at one point, and they couldn't work out a trade. At the same time, when J. Kidd got fired from the Milwaukee Bucks, the first person he was consulting with was Popovich. He went on a tour picking the brains of Popovich, Rick Carlisle, a couple of other different head coaches to see. Because remember, he was hired as a head coach for the Brooklyn Nets without any coaching experience. So there's a couple of things he wanted to work on, and he did. Became the defensive coordinator for the Lakers when they won the championship at the bubble. So he's always been a high IQ, basketball IQ guy. He's a very brilliant guy. I'm talking about Jason Kidd. And the Dallas Mavericks are versatile like that because he picked those things up from Popovich. The only time I have a concern about the Dallas Mavericks is when Luka and Kyrie are both out. We saw that in the first game against the Clippers. But guess what? There might be a situation in the playoffs where that does happen, so they're preparing for that too. You got to prepare for it where Luka and Kyrie both aren't there. There might, like, for example, Kyrie was nursing his shoulder. It was kind of like CD. He could have played through it if, I'm talking about last Thursday against the Clippers. He could have played through it like CD's been playing through all season because he played through it most of the way. I'm talking about Kyrie. J. Kidd said, you know what? No.
Don't need you tonight.
We don't need you tonight. Luka's not going to play tonight either. Let's see how these guys do without both of y'all.
So let them get their work
in. He's getting the plans in, stuff for the playoffs.
You did bring up Quentin Grimes. Y'all both did earlier. Early in when he was here, I was like, oh, it's just like Josh Green. Like, that's what I was like. It's just like Josh Green.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's found himself in the offense and now that he's found himself defensively, it no longer looks like just like Josh Green. He's got that high energy.
Yes.
But he's got more skill. And yep. he fits in better with this mm-hmm. because he knows what he's doing. And he knows yep. what his role is. And
he had 20 points against the nice. Clippers Saturday.
It yeah. is nice. And the confidence you're seeing right now, mm-hmm. Josh Green never had that confidence.
Never. It's like he would disappear.
Yeah. He never had that. And Quentin right now looks like, hey, I know what I'm supposed to do. And yeah. I'm supposed to take a shot right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make it. It's really nice to see what they're doing right now. It's really awesome. Really fun. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, I'll ask all the football questions, and we might give some presents away to all 32 NFL teams next in the Fan.
Johnston. There's it back to the front. It's right on the doorstep, and they score. And it's Jamie Benn. It was in and out. And it's 3-1 Stars and a huge goal here in the second period.
Yeah, Ben gets them to the 3-1 mark, and they stay at 3 for the night. Win 3-2 over Utah. Rope Hintz scored his team-leading 15th goal to get them to that point as well. He snapped a 1-1 tie about somewhere in the second period to get that thing rolling, and then having Jamie Benn do that too. Always love to see that.
Nice.
Dallas gets out to that lead, and they just stay there. They had great aggressive defense last night. Their attack was – they were very focused on what they were doing. They had a lot of opportunities, great shots for their team in the second period, and that leveled off for them. So that was a nice night for the Stars. Second period goals from Hintz and Ben, that's the one that gives them the cushion. That was the key moment of the night. They are 18-6 and had an 18-6 advantage in shots on goal in the second period. That was the moment where they really took over in that game. Stars, man, I love having a team like them, like the Mavericks, doing what they're doing at the AAC. They will get back in action, I believe, on Friday.
Yeah, the NHL is off today and tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll host the Wild on Friday.
Quick question. What is the Utah's team name? Because they don't really have a name, do they?
It is the Utah Hockey Club.
Why?
Remember it was Utah or the Washington football team?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they went with Utah Hockey Club.
Okay.
And I don't know, is there is there a future? They just didn't do it. Do we have any confirmation on that yet?
I think they'll adapt something later on, but this came together so randomly,
yeah.
didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it felt like it was an overnight thing that they were going to be moving to Utah and dropping all affiliation with the previous history. Like it feels very sudden, and that's probably why, because there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, right? Like the trademarking and everything.
Sure.
And it's the same conversation, just in an opposite way, that comes up whenever people want the Washington Commanders to go back to their old name. It's like, well, there's already thousands of pieces of merch out
licensing
there that have the
else.
Current logo, the current name and everything. So it's going to take a while. And then some of those things get leaked and people will go buy those trademarks. Mm-hmm. So then the team has to pay,
exactly.
you know, Joe down the street, you know, $500,000 for the trademark, you
so
know, and then he's
scratch.
Set for retirement.
Yeah.
So yeah, that stuff, you got to think ahead of time, and they really didn't.
How would you identify the state of Utah though? Like, I'm trying to figure that out. Like, what?
Because Dirk called it the city of Utah.
The Jazz. Yes, I remember that. The Utah Jazz. Everybody knows that team yeah. was taken. That
from
name
New
was
Orleans.
Taken from New Orleans, and so that was just moved.
Right.
There's no Jazz in Utah. They don't.
No.
They don't. I don't even know if they like.
That's true.
No.
But like, I don't know what how they identify, because like Stars in Dallas makes sense, especially
even though
the
they
Cowboys.
Were the North Stars.
Yeah,
initially.
But you had the Cowboys around
yeah,
here, and that
fits.
Made a lot of sense. The Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
Now that
makes
hey,
sense.
Thank you, Don Carter. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
And then the Rangers, huh. like that, those all make sense.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs in San Antonio.
No, there's no Jazz in Utah. You know, it's like it's kind of the Lakers in L.A. People
there's no lakes
there's no
in
lakes,
L.A.
But they started in Minnesota, which was the land of lakes.
Yeah.
And that's why it's there.
The Houston Oilers moved to Tennessee where yeah. there is no oil.
Yeah, the Titans.
I thought about, what about the state bird, right? How about the Utah state bird? Tell me how this makes sense.
Uh-huh.
The state bird of the state of Utah is the California seagull.
See, they have no identity.
California seagull?
It is a state.
It's the California
with
seagull.
Zero identity.
But that's, hey, they have a state cooking pot.
What is that?
The Dutch oven.
Okay, there you go, Derek.
How about
you finally made
if
it, man.
If the hockey team mm-hmm. wanted to name itself something, the Utah Salt Lakes.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Well, you're not going to be able to skate on that one.
Right, you can't.
Because it's not going to freeze.
They have a state
you
dance?
All right, the overreaction or reality. We'll dive in a little bit on this. Question number one, Michael Penix, or Penix, if huh? you are fancy. Michael Penix will take the Falcons to the playoffs. Overreaction or reality? Alec?
That division is so bad. I'm going to say reality because of that. I didn't think he looked bad at all. I actually did get the chance to watch that game, his debut game as a starter in the NFL. Didn't look bad. He had one interception that went in and out of the hands of Kyle Pitts.
Was their defense.
Yeah, that was definitely Kyle's fault. Their defense was really good in that game.
And they probably...
And it's the Giants, too.
Is the Giants, so I don't want to put too much stock into that, but he looked so comfortable, and he did look like Washington. Penix is what I'm going to go with there because I'm not fancy. He looked comfortable. He looked poised. The deep ball even looked the same. Like, it looked like nothing had changed in a good way from college. Everything that I liked about him coming out, the throwing motion, I don't mind it. I know some people hate it. He looked fine. He looked okay. I think that he's going to continue to develop, and I think that this honestly isn't a bad scenario for him to get some reps at the end of a season where it is still meaningful football. Like, he knows that he can't go out there and screw it up, but he's got his last two against the Commanders. That's going to be a tough ask.
Yep.
And then the Panthers.
There you go.
So
they're tough.
They do have the tiebreaker against the Bucks,
and that's
though.
Why I think it's a legit situation. That's where I was going to go with my take. My take was, guess what? They've already beaten the Bucks twice. And to me, that's why this was a heart-crushing loss to the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football for the Bucks, because they had no elbow room. You can't let Atlanta win, and because they went out, you might have the same identical records, but they own the tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, Penix is not going to screw it up, because all he had to do was just be himself and not carry the team. Kirk Cousins was not carrying the team. He was weighing them down, unfortunately for him.
Overreaction or reality, Jaden Daniels is having a better rookie season than C.J. Stroud did.
I'm going to say that's a – what's the answer?
Overreaction or reality?
I'm going to say reality only because he's had more dramatic moments where he saved them, and he's proven that he could. C.J. Stroud, don't get me wrong, I really, really like him, and it's not about, well, look, he's kind of fallen down in the sophomore year. He had a hell of a rookie year, but I think Jaden Daniels' rookie year has been more impressive.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking at numbers right now?
Yeah.
A lot of times I do the same thing where I'm like, I need to really look at the numbers because I know what I feel, and I feel like he's getting more publicity than C.J. Stroud did.
That's exactly where I was going.
The East Coast media thing?
And I'm going to say that this is overreaction. C.J. Stroud, what I saw from him, not only was it impressive, it was unprecedented. You don't see that, especially for me. It's kind of a low blow. I know, I'm sorry to any Texans fans. I know like two of you, and I don't really care if you get offended, Anthony. You don't expect that kind of a quick turnaround from the Houston football franchise. They have been so poorly managed over the past few years, really ever since that last Deshaun Watson playoff run. That was their last real window, and they completely goofed that whole thing after that. Bringing in Nick Caserio was the best thing that they've really ever done with that franchise.
It took a while, but it definitely was.
He is one of the top five, if not three, best GMs in the NFL for my money. So I think what he did with a patchwork offensive line in his rookie season, it really was not great. A new offensive coordinator, a young hotshot defensive coordinator of a head coach. 4,100 passing yards, only 5 interceptions to 23 touchdowns, and almost 300 passing yards per game. I think that was more impressive.
The Daniels is different for sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He has a higher completion percentage and one touchdown away from matching Stroud's numbers.
With 2 games left.
He also has one more win, but I'm with you. I think what Stroud did last year was phenomenal. I think Daniels is doing a phenomenal job this year as a rookie. I just think he's getting more pub. I think he's getting a lot more of the shine, because I don't know if it's the East Coast thing or Washington's whole new vibrance, you know, like that
new ownership, everything.
I think that's it.
But having D'Amico Ryans, also it was the Texans. Everybody kind of looks down at Texas when they're looking from elsewhere, and they're like Cowboys, and then the Texans get lost because everybody sees the Cowboys first. Overreaction to reality, Saquon Barkley will break Eric Dickerson's rushing record. He sits currently at 1,838 yards.
Who are the last?
He's set to finish.
They play the Cowboys, and they play, who's their last game?
Eagles. Let's see.
Alec?
Eagles. No, he's on the Eagles.
That's what I'm saying. Who's the Eagles' last game?
Lions. No, that's not it either.
The Lions.
Let's see. The Eagles' last game is the Giants.
Giants.
Oh, he could really break the record.
He could break it against his former team.
He really could break this
pace.
Record.
He's that on pace awesome. To get 2,083 rushing yards, which would be 22 shy of Eric Dickerson's number.
I think he could get it because Giants are on the schedule. Cowboys are not a great run defense. They've been playing better. That's going to be kind of tougher than expected. But he may be getting the ball a lot because even if Jalen Hurts plays, he may not be back in the pocket a whole lot if he doesn't have to be. I'm just saying because the concussion thing. All I got to say is he's got a shot at it, and I'm going to go ahead and say he will. And Eric Dickerson would not mind because he says, I don't mind because his records are meant to be broken.
This is a reality, and for one reason only. It has nothing to do with Saquon. His head coach is so full of himself and wants to be all over those headlines when nobody cares.
He'll run him into the ground in the last game.
Exactly.
Of course.
And not only because of that, because it's against his former team. He is mm-hmm. that petty. He is that much of a D that he is going to make it happen because he wants his name attached to it.
Yeah, now you're probably right about that. I was thinking to myself that maybe Saquon wouldn't be in the Giants game. But then I'm like, no, it Sirianni. Makes a lot more sense. Sirianni, that's a really good
I'm
really
glad
good
you brought
one
that
right
up because you would think you want to rest guys or meaningless game, whatever. No, not Sirianni.
They want to rub it in just a little bit. Oh, hey, this is the guy that we took from you, by the way. Right. And he just broke the record against you. Could have been you.
He wants the fans to boo some more.
Coming up next, it's time for some gridiron gravy. Is pickup basketball the best way to play football? Next on The Fan.